Hey y'all, it's Daniel. Just wanted to interject real quick before this episode. Yet again, had audio problems. Sorry. What happened is Eric Shulkin was on, and he has an omnidirectional microphone that was really close to his mouth, and therefore his headphones, and so literally his audio is just all three of us talking. Because omnidirectional microphones are so sensitive. So his whole track is just us three talking. Cool. So my options were to leave his track as is and just have Ashley and I echoing in the background, which was extremely annoying. Going in and cutting out where Ashley and I were talking, which would take hours, and I've already spent a few hours trying to solve this problem. And then third, the option I chose is the same option I did for the previous episode, which is to just use Eric's damn file. So Eric's quality will be pretty good. Ashley and mine will not. But that's the best solution, and I apologize. Going forward, I will triple, quadruple check everyone's audio before we get started. I would like to hold myself and this podcast to a higher standard, and I appreciate your patience. Thank you. This is genuinely a very good episode on YouTube, and just diving deep into the problematic folks within YouTube. Had a great conversation with Ashley Robinson and Eric Shulkin. We did not get a chance to plug either of them. Specifically, I would like to plug Ashley Robinson from the Pretty Witty podcast. If you have not heard her on this show before, go check her out. She is very cool. Her and Jenna Fontenot do that podcast together, and it's pretty fun and entertaining. Talk about news and stuff. And then Eric Shulkin's on. He's been on before. He doesn't really want to be plugged. If you want to yell at him about this audio problem, he's at binge_watch on Twitter. Go yell at him. Do it now. Okay, thanks for listening. Bye.
I'm sick of all you sycophants, ignorance and miscreants, simpletons and little ants, trying to split their sentience. People peddle pestilence, land pipe on their settlements, and I don't think it was even food for it was excrement. Get your head in it. Second wind represent white shit, kid. I never stepped in it. I reckon it's older than the New Testament. Edited shit.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to Tequila. This is the show where we dive deep into tech while diving deep into a bottle of liquor. My name is Daniel Fregueira. With me today, I have Ash. What's up, Ash?
Hey. Hi, guys.
And I have Enrique. That's not your name. What's your name?
I don't know. Eric.
Eric's your name? Oh,
yeah, okay. Hey.
Yo.
Hey. Hello, everybody.
Hey.
Okay, let's just get it started. What are you drinking, Ashley?
I'm drinking Crown Royal. Fine Canadian whiskey.
The regular one, not the disgusting mesquite one?
Ugh. Oh, God, that was so gross. Don't even remind me. Oh, it was so bad.
Sorry.
I forgot about that. Traumatizing.
Oh, my God. Shut the fuck up.
Eric, what are you drinking?
What am I drinking? Blue Nectar Tequila.
That's fancy.
Ooh.
Top shelf. Third from the top shelf.
That's a pretty bottle.
Yeah, I liked how it looked.
Is it actually blue?
No, I think there's just like colored glass. This is great for the podcast audience, by the way. They're loving this.
I like the label a lot. Asymmetrical.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm drinking.
Trying some new.
I'm drinking Cimarron.
Oh.
Cimarron.
This guy. Cimarron I actually really like from what I've had. And it's pretty cheap. It's like $27 a bottle. And it's pretty solid compared to the other cheap ones. But we'll see how I feel about that. Okay. Let's
And stay tuned.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, at least you're not drinking the mesquite one, Ash.
You're right. I just feel so ashamed after Beyonce told me to do better, and here I am.
Doing better, I say.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Salud.
Suck it, Beyonce.
Salud. Don't say that out loud. You don't know what'll come for you.
Okay. Woo. Oh.
I know exactly what would come. The Bayhive. I've heard of them.
I've heard of them.
They're scary.
I've heard tell of their legend.
Okay, today we're talking about YouTube. We're talking about shitty things in YouTube. It's going to be fun. Eric, you wanted to talk about things first. Talk to us about things.
You caught me. That's right. Well, just before we, as you said at the top, dive deep into it, I think we should just talk for a second about what is YouTube to us, because it's become like integral part of our society. And I just did a casual Google search, synergy, of their press page. And
you just synergy, like, yeah, non-ironically.
Yeah, I did.
Get the fuck out of here.
Nope. Sticking around for a few more shots, at least. They have 1.9 billion monthly users. They're available in 80 different languages, localized.
1.9 billion?
Yeah, think about that number.
Like, almost, what's the population at now? 9 billion of the planet?
Yeah.
No.
I think we're at 8.
We're at 8?
Let me use
Google. I didn't know we made it past 7 yet.
Current.
I know we're past 7.
Definitely past 7?
Past 7 for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm using this Google substitute search engine that's actually pretty awesome.
We're at 7.53 billion.
Wow.
There you go. Okay, so almost 2 billion people, or 2 billion accounts, we should say, right? Not people, are YouTube users. Monthly, you said?
Monthly, yeah. And hundreds of millions daily active users. People like live and die by YouTube, as I'm sure we'll talk more about. Personalities, it's a legitimate career now. So, and we'll talk more about this as we continue, but I don't think we've ever seen something with this scope and reach and you okay? And
this little guy came up here.
Oh, that's cute.
He's just staring at me, creepy dog.
Little jelly bean.
Yeah.
So we've never seen anything as powerful and far-reaching as YouTube, I don't think. In terms of technical implications, or the course of human history, if we're going real macro here.
Right.
And I don't think we know how to control it, or even channel it correctly, as we'll talk about more. So
I don't think Google's good at controlling it, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah, yeah. So
last
want to illustrate, it's really fucking big.
Yeah,
YouTube, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Last episode, towards the end, Plug talked about like privacy and trying to start phasing Facebook or Google out of your life. And when it comes to YouTube, because YouTube tracks the shit out of you.
Right.
For, you know, ads. And
oh, yeah.
When it comes to YouTube, there's really no fucking replacement. Like, where am I going to go to get all these creators? That, like, I'm not going to go to fucking Vimeo. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
YouTube is the only one you could use, right?
Yeah.
You get landed my shitty Vimeo joke.
Wasn't a joke. It was just...
It's just facts.
It's correct.
It's true.
Someone sends you a Vimeo link. I was like, are you psychotic? What's wrong with
it? Well, it's normally for, like, artsy shit that you don't want, like, on YouTube.
I was like, oh, is this your reel? This is your reel.
Exactly.
You're sending me your reel? I don't want to open your reel.
Yeah. Exactly. It's that kind of shit. And, I don't know. It's very powerful. It's a juggernaut, much like a lot of the things we have in our lives, like Facebook, Google, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we wanted to kick it off this episode. Yeah, we're diving deep on YouTube. So, Eric, break down this. Are we talking about news, right? We're talking about news?
Yeah.
Tú no viste la noticia.
Soundboard.
What was that?
Soundboard. I got this old Mexican-Cuban grandma saying some shit about noticias. Anyway.
Okay. I didn't follow because I'm white. But
enteraste lo que pasó? Tú no viste la noticia.
Okay. Thanks for playing again. anyway.
All right, so news, unfortunately, in this week it was, right? Monday?
Yeah.
Notre Dame, a lot of it burned. You know this. And then we're not going to talk about all the billionaires fucking...
Yeah, the rich people mobilized. They fixed it pretty quickly.
Let's really not talk about that, or I'm going to yell. Or we can. Do you want to, Ash?
No, we don't really need to.
I'll yell at the world.
I'm so exhausted.
Yeah. And so that's a thing. Anyway, continue.
So, as we know, that happened. And YouTube was able to draw a little attention to themselves in a pretty big mistake that they made. They recently implemented a...
So it's like a... Is this an update to the entire platform or like a service they're trying to sell?
I think they were rolling it out. So okay. Like not everybody saw this, but a lot of users did, this new feature that they're testing out, which is...
This is meant to be a universal feature, though.
It was meant to be. My understanding of it, yeah.
Okay. While I take a swig out of a giant Bacardi glass.
Okay. No problem. Yeah, okay. So, ironically enough, this is a new fact-checking feature. But it went pretty wrong because as it was showing the live footage, they were getting, like, uploaded... footage of the Notre Dame
like
burning.
Live.
Yeah, YouTube Live or whatever, or just like users like putting it up, right. You know, from social media platforms or whatever, putting it on YouTube. What people were being served is like in a link in the article, kind of like a, I don't know how to describe it, like an attachment, like an add-on, a plugin that like has like a informative like text blurb and links to another article. But the rub is that it was about 9/11. So like if you see there's this one tweet that perfectly encapsulates it by one Joshua Benton.
Oh, it's like
on April 15th, 2019. Why in the world is YouTube putting information about 9/11 underneath Notre Dame live stream from France 24, which is a news network, I assume. So the video algorithm like fucked up because it was reading the burning building as like, oh, that's 9/11, obviously.
Right, yeah, right. I see.
So kind of that's a faux pas.
Really shitty neural net.
Mm-hmm.
Right there.
Just sloppily, carelessly done, which is a theme I'm sure we'll continually come back to over the course of this episode. Yeah. YouTube not doing its due diligence. But that was the most recent fuck-up to happen. But there are more.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, yeah, this episode we want to talk about, like... just content on YouTube, the algorithm, et cetera, mm-hmm. Just to give background, there is about a year ago, New York Times article called YouTube, the Great Radicalizer. Interesting article. What had happened is this woman was doing, back in 2016 presidential run, this woman who wrote this article was doing some research on Donald Trump, pulled up a lot of YouTube videos to get the quotes right in what she was writing. And YouTube started to recommend and autoplay, as we're all familiar with. I turned that shit off. I hate it. Videos for her. And it started with, you know, her just watching some Trump videos to get the quotes. On the side started suggesting and autoplaying white supremacist rants, Holocaust denials, et cetera, which I'm sure, like, I have seen that regularly as I'm watching shit. Like, all the time. Or it'll be like fringe shit. It'll be like some fringe theory type shit. But what this woman had done is made a new account and she was like, all right, does this go in the other direction? Like if I start watching Hillary and Bernie, will I get like crazy leftist shit? And she got like some like leftist conspiracy theories about 9/11, being an inside job and all that shit. And then she tried it with other shit. So she tried it with like vegetarianism on a new account and it started like linking like really like hardcore veganism. She tried it with like jogging and started linking to or recommending like ultra marathons and crazy shit.
So what do you think about it? I mean, what about the algorithm makes it do that? Like that it goes for like the most extremes. Like how do you think it determines that? I mean, are there like tags in the videos that
I think it's just that like that's what I mean this is what she posits in the article at least, and I think I agree to a certain point. I think it's whatever like gets people to stay on the platform and keep watching for ads, right? To make money. That's number one. And I think that's the main reason. People like kind of gravitate, they make the same point. And I think it's either this article or later, you know, today we'll talk about it. But it's kind of like people look for, it's almost like a fast food equivalent of like digital content. They look for like the stupid, easily consumable shit that's like super fringe and speaks to like your desire as a human to like uncover, you know, to pull back the curtain and see what society is like, kind of thing.
Did you mean to do that? Because you were making an interesting point, but you just totally ruined it.
You told me to put the monkey as the timer, so So there's
oh yeah, that was the time.
We're already at 10 minutes.
See, I think I like Blood Moon better. I'm sorry, because like it like dramatically interrupts you, and you're like, oh no.
Yeah.
Let's do the Blood Moon next. Let me see.
Okay, I mean, that was cute, but
there.
I was confused.
The timer for the next one. Let's take the shot. Eric, count. Once you're poured up.
I'm pouring up. Pour it up, pour it up.
Let it all come out.
Thank you.
I got your back, man.
Appreciate you.
Oh.
Listo, calisto.
Are you ready? Everybody ready?
Uh-huh.
3, 2, 1, tequila.
Cheers.
Are you taking a shot out of a mason jar?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mmm.
Ash, your face. You enjoyed that. That was like visceral.
It's better when you have lime.
I haven't done dark liquor in a long time.
Oh, I'll sip on some whiskey or something. Like I have been for the past few days.
But shooting it, it's a whole different.
Were you at a festival, you said? Dan?
What?
You said you were at like a festival or something, right?
Oh, there's a rum festival next week. Next week.
Okay.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
I know, and you get a little snifter glass as well. I'm excited.
Ew.
Rum. I'm
very pumped.
Does anyone go dressed as like a pirate?
You know, suppose I could.
That's what I want to know. Okay.
Okay. Let's not talk about the stupid replica flintlock pistol I bought that got jacked when I got burglarized.
Oh man.
I bought it at a fucking Renaissance fair because I thought it was really cool. And Sandy was like, why the fuck did you buy that?
Sounds cool.
Everyone thinks it's cool. And she's like, this is the stupidest thing ever. So I'm like, hey, everyone thinks it's cool.
Wow. Okay. You know.
Even the thief thought it was cool.
Yeah,
the thief was like, oh, this is sick.
That was definitely something they did not need to take, and they took it anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
The empty
That's so petty.
So
I've already stolen all his other stuff.
I took his laptop, his Switch, his PS4. This fucking fake gun that's like $70. Let's do it.
Look at this cool gun. You got this too.
Fucker. Okay.
Hey, if you're listening out there, enjoy while you can.
Enjoy that flintlock pistol that's not going to get you much money to pawn shop, asshole. they probably have it on their wall now. Anyway.
Okay.
So, so this woman started... recap last time on tequila.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about how this woman made an account and, you know, looked at vegetarianism stuff, led to like hardcore veganism, jogging to ultramarathon type shit. So, for some reason, the algorithm seems to think that people are drawn to this type of content. And the whole point of this is we don't know why, because Google is like super mum on this shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't talk about it. The only insight that we've had, the woman talks about it in this article, is a formal Google developer named Guillaume Chaslot is how it's spelled. But so this guy, Mr. Chaslow, he worked at YouTube. He was alarmed at how they were setting up the algorithm to increase the time that people spent on the site. But this is a trend for every tech company now, Facebook, especially. So he was kind of alarmed by that. And then Google fired him. Google cited his job performance. He maintains that it was because he pushed too hard for changing how, YouTube worked on the back end. And so with him, the Wall Street Journal conducted an investigation into YouTube. I think it was about a year ago, around the time that this article was written. And found that YouTube often fed, quote, far right or far left videos to users who watch relatively mainstream news sources. All this extremist shit is very common for a lot of users in general.
Why do you think that might be? Because their headlines are louder? All their videos are in all caps? I'm sure all of Alex Jones's are.
Ben Shapiro owns libs. Like that kind of
snowflakes reduced to water after being triggered.
I kind of have a theory as to why this is. I think it's because, like, most of the people on the far right who are getting their information from places like YouTube or, you know, those far right websites that link directly to that, they're, like, other people are watching and reading regular news. And so these people are, like, jamming traffic to YouTube for these specific things, which makes those videos more popular, which is what bumps them up into different spaces of the internet that has nothing to do with far-right information at all. It's the craziest thing. Like, I was doing a deep dive on J-Lo and how she doesn't sing any of her songs. And I got linked... Like, you know that, like, on Get I'm Real, that's Ashanti singing, and she basically...
What?
Yeah.
Wait.
They kept Ashanti
singing, and she's not, like, featuring?
No, Ashanti did the demo, and then they kept her vocals in because J-Lo's didn't sound good, and she's just credited on the song, but they kept J-Lo's name as... And there was, like, a whole thing because, you know, she said the N-word, but she didn't really say the N-word. Ashanti said the N-word. So
oh, wow.
Anyways, I was doing
You're fucking
dive.
Me up right now. I didn't know Man.
I was doing a dive on that, and one of the, like, I got a video about a conspiracy about, like, flat earthing, and then
oh my
I also
God.
Got linked to, like, some 9/11 conspiracies because the video was titled J-Lo Conspiracy.
Oh.
So, and, like, yeah, so it was just kind of crazy that those were connected because the algorithm and because the people who, like, look into those things will also look into these things, too. It was very weird.
Damn, that is crazy. That's super interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they talk about, like, I don't know, if you look up shit, like, that was, like, for the flu vaccine, you get recommended, you know, like, anti-vax shit. Kind of stuff like you're saying. It's more or less the same thing that you're saying, except yours is a little... It's crazy that, like, just because of the word, they give you that stretch. It was like, J-Lo conspiracy, how about the world is flat, motherfucker? Like, get the fuck out of here. But it's also important to note that in this study, they, like, whether you started, like seemingly to the algorithm pro-Clinton, you know, in the context of 2016, pro-Clinton or pro-Trump, you were more likely to end up with pro-Trump shit. And that was because, one, like, the mainstream media had an obsession with him to begin with, and we could talk about that. That's a different topic, though. That's part of it. There's a bunch of, like, sound bites of him staying.
I think you mean the lamestream media. There.
That's right. That's right.
Important distinction.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're clear.
But basically, despite this woman trying to code it as centrally as possible, being a New York Times writer, the problem on YouTube, aside from flat eartherism, is mostly, like, far right bullshit, right wing bullshit. Yeah. So there's a really good quote from this article that I just want to pull and then have y'all react. So I'll read it out. Quote, in effect, YouTube has created a restaurant that serves us increasingly sugary, fatty foods, loading up our plates as soon as we're finished with the last meal. Over time, our taste adjusts, and we seek even more sugary, fatty foods, which the restaurant dutifully provides. When confronted about this by the health department and concerned citizens, the restaurant managers reply that they're merely serving us what we want. End quote.
My first reaction is I'm hungry. But
reaction is salt, fat, acid.
Yeah.
Or whatever the fuck.
No, I mean, that makes complete sense. And it kind of illustrates, you know, what we're, how our guard is down in this kind of, like, online platform, you know, like, the whole point of that metaphor that you just said, right? This is something we would never accept in a restaurant, but, like, we're getting this shit. Yeah, yeah. We're getting this shit jammed down our throat all the time, and we don't really ever ask the question, like, why, or we weren't for a long time, like, because we just took it for granted because it was all free. Like, oh, amazing, this shit's free. But wait, like, why is it coming to us in this way? So I think that quote makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
I don't know if what I just said made sense, but yeah.
I mean, I got it.
Yeah.
I get your
point. Two shots.
Ash, you got anything?
I just I don't like this trend of companies not telling us things. Like, I see everybody wanting to do the Netflix model and just not give out any information just because they want to seem like they're doing good. But YouTube has a really big problem with racist and sexist, and that's the difference, is Netflix isn't running, like, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. YouTube
has a huge problem with the racist
manifestos and things like that. Yeah, so, yeah. Like, it's a responsibility, because the people of the far right are radicalized through online videos and information. They need to take a responsibility to shut this shit down, and they're not doing that.
Nope. Nope.
So they're skirting responsibility, ducking accountability.
Oh, you mean like fucking everyone, like fucking Jack Dorsey on fucking Twitter right now with all these people that should be shut down that aren't? Oh, this is a unique story. Little sliver of happiness. I'm going to interject some happiness now that Eric and I referenced 2 Chainz. If you want something hilarious and amazing on YouTube, look up 2 Chainz. Oh, God.
See, it's good. I like it.
It's very
good. Are you about to say most expensive shit?
Yes.
Okay.
I love most expensive shit. It is amazing. It's unfortunately on Vice now instead of just like on YouTube by GQ. So I don't think Vice puts that shit on YouTube anymore. I think they might put some clips. But most expensive as shit, I'm poured up. I'm just going to explain it and then we'll take a shot. Most expensive as shit is 2 Chainz looking at the most expensive thing. It started with GQ, like in collaboration with GQ. And it's 2 Chainz looking at the most expensive thing in X category. And one of them, it's all amazing. And one of them, it's him and Diplo are looking at the most expensive water. And there's a little like... not a scissor reel, but, you know, like in the beginning, they put a little bit of what they're saying. And Diplo, like, takes a drink of water and he goes, yep, that's water. It's just super fucking funny. Please watch it if you want something fun. A good show. Really fun. Ash, count.
3, 2, 1. Cheers.
Yeah.
I'm, like, pouring this shit. I need to not do that. Okay, start timer. Okay, let's get back into it. Talking about YouTube, I wanted to also talk about not only the platform and how it kind of extremifies folks, but also...
Is that a word?
A couple extremifies. I just made it up.
I mean, I like it, so.
Yeah.
If it's not a word, it should be.
That's right. I want to talk about a couple players in YouTube, just a couple, because we don't have time for a lot of the ones that we hate. We just have a time for a couple. This dude, the guy I'm about to mention, is a player more so in the podcast scene, but definitely like YouTube clips of his podcast. I see it all the time in my feed, and I have to constantly tell the algorithm, please stop giving me Joe Rogan fucking clips.
You may know him from Fear Factor.
Yes, this motherfucker, y'all, if you don't know him, I'll give you a breakdown of him from this article in a minute about him, but God, this motherfucker was on Fear Factor. He was on, like, The Man Show or whatever back in the day. Yeah, that was a thing I watched when I was a kid, and now I'm like, ooh.
Problematic. It doesn't hold up well.
Also, like, Adam Carolla, the other co-host, or one of the former co-hosts, Jimmy Kimmel was on that show, I think, as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But Adam Carolla is also a very problematic human being.
Oh, he is?
Extremely.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's a huge piece of shit.
Okay.
Noted.
I accept it. Great.
Hold on, let me find.
I like too many people anyway. I'm willing to cut some people out.
Time to sparse down.
Yeah, yeah. Trim it down.
So if you don't know who Joe Rogan is, there's this article. Was it? It's from Slate. The article is Joe Rogan's Galaxy Brain. And there's a little, I'll quote a little paragraph about him that I thought was fucking amazing. Quote, as a podcaster, the 51-year-old Rogan is basically what you'd get if a less neurotic Marc Maron and a less manic Alex Jones had a baby who looked like a muscular thumb. Enthusiastic and self-deprecating lunk. With an abiding fondness for both snake oil and its salesman. Rogan is funny, and friendly, and easy to like. He reminds me of many intense, talkative stoners I knew in college. The sort of people who were always yelling about how graphic novels were literature and who inevitably blamed their professors for being biased and then against them when they were kicked out of school for pulling a 0.0 GPA, end quote.
That graphic novel dig hit close to home for me, I gotta say.
Yes.
When you said muscular thumb, I thought of those hand people from Spy Kids.
Oh my God. Yes.
Whoa.
As soon as you did this with your hand, you scrunched it. Yes.
Listen, and people, just like Google Joe Rogan, you'll know what we're talking about in one second. You'll be like, yeah, oh, absolutely.
Can I say that, like, for some reason, like, floops, flooglies, all those beings come to my mind all the time, like, once a month at least. I think
so. You take shrooms once a month then. Got it.
I wish. Which is what my brain's doing. So Joe Rogan,
he's been out in the scene for a while.
Yeah, he is. Like, if you don't know who he is, you might not have been paying attention to the podcast scene, which is fine, or like his show on YouTube. But he is extremely influential. For, I was going to say for better or worse, but it's effectively for a lot of worse. His show, the Joe Rogan Experience, it's called.
Oh my God.
On Apple Podcasts, it was the second most downloaded podcast in 2017 and 2018.
Wow.
Like, dude's blown up in the past few years. I know, like, there are people I know who are like, oh man, did you listen to the latest Joe Rogan? I'm like, nah, sorry. He's very, I don't know, like...
So, like, Howard Stern or like...
Stoner. Yeah. I don't know about Howard Stern, but, like, I don't know, like, workout bro, stoner. He fancies himself like a free thinker type of guy, you know?
Galaxy brain.
Term.
Yeah. I know. I fucking loathe that term. Like, so much. God, he's such a fucking piece of shit. I don't... If you listen to the show and like him, I'm sorry to shit all over him, but I'm not really, because he's a fucking piece of shit, and I'm going to illustrate why. But anyway, his podcast is really important, right?
I thought his Netflix special 2 years ago was funny, but then again, I didn't know him or know him at all. In the time since, I've been like, oh my God, this guy? You know, like, so I felt bad.
Like, he reels you in with some decent, I don't know, like comedy, or like a certain part of his character might reel you in. Or, like, I don't know, like, I feel like his demographic in general is just
I like thumbs. I like thumbs.
Yeah. I like thumbs.
He's very much one of those people who's like, I mean, I like all people. My best friend is black.
Right, right. I don't see that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. Dude is super influential. Just to illustrate his influence, the show's becoming like politically important as well. They point out in his article because Andrew Yang, who is a whole other can of worms that we could talk about another time, you know, Democratic presidential candidate. He showed up on the podcast, and they said, like, right after being on the podcast, they had a, quote, unprecedented flood of campaign donations. Quote, everything is up and to the right since Joe Rogan podcast, the manager told the Daily Beast, end quote. So, yeah, it's crazy that it's, like, that influential. Also, can we just say real quick that, like, Andrew Yang's fan base seems to be, like, mostly, like, white dudes. Anyway.
Yeah,
I didn't even know who that is. He's running for president.
You have not been paying attention to the presidential field, my friend.
But there are like 30 people. So
yeah, probably a good thing that you're not.
That's not your fault.
I actually do pay attention. I had no idea who you're talking about.
The only thing that you can say in his favor is that he's like putting the idea of universal basic income out in like common parlance. Let's not talk about that right now. That's actually a whole other podcast episode, potentially.
Yeah, YouTube. Joe Rogan.
So let's illustrate Joe Rogan's problematicness. He had fucking Charles Murray on. Charles Murray, a lot of people don't know who he is. I only know who he is because my partner is, you know, in academia, and this guy, he has a lot of academics on who are like huge problems. Charles Murray is one of them. Charles Murray is this guy who wrote a book called The Bell Curve. Mm-hmm. And he, through his studies, seems to have come to the conclusion that people who have low IQs are that way because of their genetics, and like explicitly says that black folks are stupid because of their genetics. Like explicitly. Joe Rogan had this motherfucker on and was just like, oh yeah, genetics, man, that's the reason for it. Yeah, man, like, you know, like giving into this like hippy-dippy bullshit. He often has like, you know, people who are giving like nutritional takes, and they may or may not be, I don't know shit about nutrition, I can't confirm or deny, you know, how good those folks are. But it's often the reason I bring up the nutrition people and like the workout shit is because it's often this like almost like pseudosciencey, the audience buys into this fucking pseudoscience. And a lot of these academics, the way that they arrive to these conclusions is through either shitty science or pseudoscience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he also recently, this article, in I almost said in specific, which is a Hispanicism, specifically, en específico, este artículo, no. yeah, en específico, él habla con Sam Harris. Anyway, so Sam Harris came on, and the article talks about Sam Harris specifically. Just because that was the latest episode. Sam Harris, for those of you that don't know, he kind of is also one of these like wedge figures. All these people are like wedge figures. Sam Harris is like one of these, what do they call, like new atheists or whatever? Mm-hmm. Like Sam Harris, Bill Maher, all these fuckers who are like super like Islamophobic and use atheism as a way to like shit all over Islam and like religion in general.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam Harris has had like a lot of problematic xenophobic shit that he was talking about. And so they were talking about how, like, in this particular episode, they were talking about how, like, leftists, in quotes, are, like, freaking out over, like, what Liam Neeson said that he did. I don't want to get into that just because it's a whole rabbit hole. But Liam Neeson talked about, like, I don't know, like, someone... I forget if it was like his sister or something.
Oh, Liam Neeson.
Close friend.
Yeah.
And he said he was going out to look for a black guy to kill because she said she got raped by a black guy.
There we go. Yeah. So that's very problematic. And people were like, oh, like, they were both Sam Harris and Joe Rogan were like, oh, the left is like trying to like burn him for this. And it's like, no, it's problematic. But he's like apologizing. I don't know. So they brought that up. A quote from the article, quote, holding people accountable for what they say and what those words do is an offense worse than saying cruel, racist, and divisive things in the first place, end quote. And then, now we take a shot.
Yes.
Yeah. God, the shots kind of keep us lighthearted, but it this rabbit hole only gets worse. And I apologize. Yeah. That's why, if you want a lighthearted break, go watch 2 Chainz. It's great.
Did you see that his next video with YG and Offset, they had their mamas rapping for them? It's so cute. It's so funny.
Offset needs the PR. So
I love when people do that in videos, like Bad Bunny did his Caro music video.
Oh yeah.
That girl rapped the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or George Michael and all those models in Freedom. Because he said, fuck the establishment.
Yeah.
I got sentiment, though. okay,
I think it's your turn.
Yeah.
Okay, are we ready?
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay, tres, dos, uno. Salud.
Cheers. Trago.
Cheers.
Ooh, yeah, the cimarron.
Woo.
Mm. Gosh, you do not like that Crown. Also, like, if you're going to drink a brown liquor as a shot, Crown Royal is not it. Like,
I didn't go to the liquor store.
No, I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying, like,
no, I get it. I agree. As a shot, like, I like to sip on Crown. It's just hard to shoot whiskey.
Yeah, I mean, like, Crown's decent to sip on for sure. But like shooting, it's so harsh to shoot.
It
is,
and they have tequila, but it's Jose Cuervo, and I was like, bleh.
No. Yeah, no. Don't bother.
And it's Jose Cuervo gold on top of
gold.
Yeah. I will say, if we're gonna talk about the aged brown stuff. The cimarron, this guy, the reposado, which reposados are normally done like, I think it's like 6 months, if I'm not mistaken, in a barrel. Mm-hmm. It's like a real quick touch to like a used, I think they're used barrels normally, like bourbon barrels. It was a lot smoother than this guy because the time in the barrel kind of, you know, like smoothed it out as a barrel does. And it was really good. This stuff is good, but I think I prefer the reposado.
Oh, okay.
Anyway,
Oh, yesterday I got to try that Clase Azul, the tequila that comes in the really pretty white and blue ceramic bottle.
Clase Azul?
Yeah. It's the best tequila I've ever had. It's like $100 for a bottle.
No.
It's so good.
$100 though?
Yeah.
God damn. Let me see the bottle.
Better be good.
This is fucking awesome.
Yeah, the bottle's really pretty.
This is fucking gorgeous.
It's so good.
Actually,
Clase Azul.
Yeah, clase azul. Clase, like class, and then azul, the color.
If we're gonna
talk about agave liquors and show some Texas pride for a second, there's a place that does. Ash, do you know what Sotol is?
I've heard of the liquor you're probably about to talk about, I think.
Yeah, so Sotol is the liquor, and Sotol is also the name of the plant. And the plant, it's also called Desert Spoon, apparently, but it's an agave plant that's in, like, Texas, New Mexico, northern Mexico, you know, that part of the world. And it's made in Mexico and, like, in some parts of the States. And there's this place just outside of Austin near where my partner, Sadie, is from, near Dripping Springs, that's called Desert Door. And they do Sotol, and the Sotol there is served in one of the, like a glass like this, like a ceramic Mexican style glass. And the owner is, you know, a Texan Mexican, and it's so good. Sotol is very similar to mezcal and tequila in that it has that like agave, I don't know, like agave syrupy kind of feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
But that shit is so good. If you can ever find it, it's a beautiful. Look up the glass. Look up Desert Door bottle or just Desert Door.
Desert Door.
Desert Door Sotol. Sotol. Gorgeous bottle. Gorgeous bottle. That shit is very pretty. It's like this blue ceramic bottle. And it has a cap like those bottles with the, you know, the glass bottles have that you like make kombucha or like ginger beer or whatever the fuck.
Oh, and it's so pretty.
It's cute as fuck.
Yeah, it's very cute.
That is some good shit if you can ever find it.
Very, very Texas.
Yeah. That shit's great. Eric is like falling asleep right now. I don't know what's happening.
No, I'm reading something. Sorry.
Oh.
What year is it? What? Sorry.
Rip Van Winkle. Yeah, that place is cool. Just plug some Texas shit. Talk about some liquor. Anyway, so back to shitty
YouTube. There's a lot of terrible people on there. One of them is Joe Rogan. One of them is Sam Harris.
I gotta start the timer. Okay.
Just to catch everybody up.
Sam Harris fucking blows. He's also had Jordan Peterson on. Jordan Peterson's a piece of shit. I'm sorry if you like him, but he's a fucking idiot.
Who's that?
Jordan Peterson. Oh God, he just
he's like sexist or something, right?
He came to fame with some like transphobic shit. Because there's a lot, he's a Canadian psych professor. He's an evolutionary psychology professor, which is like not a thing. My partner is a psych major, does like neuroscience psych stuff, and like I know a lot of psych folks through her. And evolutionary psychology is not a real thing. He tries to argue, he's like super anti-leftist, anti-SJW type, and like refuses to use like trans people's pronouns and stuff. God, he's like, oh, like he does a really bad job of, or I should say, a really good job of miscategorizing like Marxism and stuff, and like post-Marxist, and like conflating post-modernism with Marxism. It's a lot of philosophical shit that he just like abbreviates in a really shitty, stupid way, and people believe him. And it's like, no, that's not how leftism works. That's not how the philosophy works. He's just coming to this conclusion that's really fucking stupid. I could talk about that all day. But one of the things that he often quotes, I'll just give you a little taste of Jordan Peterson. I'll give you the main thing.
Give us a dab.
That's right, a dab of Jordan Peterson. I'm not going to do a dab right now because that would be...
I wasn't suggesting that, but yeah.
Very tasteless of my part. so he often argues that postmodernism is trying to like destroy hierarchy in general, right? And like anarchism is trying to destroy the hierarchy in general, which is like not how it works. We're trying to just take down like hierarchies that suck and oppress people, right? Like patriarchy and white supremacy and shit like that. But anyway, he generalizes and says that like the left just wants to like destroy hierarchy in general. And then he's like, well, you know, hierarchy's good. Look at these lobsters. He like makes a huge point. Look at those lobsters. Lobsters, they have hierarchy in their society, and there's a pecking order. So hierarchy's natural. It's normal. And then like, so I was talking to someone about how they're like, you know, Jordan Peterson's interesting, this lobster thing. And then, like, I told Sadie about that. I was like, what the fuck is the deal with this? And she was like, yeah, it's natural. Big deal. Also, like, seals fuck dead penguins. That's natural. Are we going to start advocating for that shit? Like, no. No, we're not going to start advocating for that shit. Anyway, yeah, Jordan Peterson's a fucking idiot. Next. Moving on.
Thank you. Next.
Yeah, so you got thank you. Thank you for the reference. So, next problematic piece of shit. You saw this coming. YouTube, you know what it is. Motherfucking Mr. Pew himself.
Mm-hmm.
PewDiePie, I don't know. Y'all got some takes on PewDiePie you want to talk about before I?
I've never watched him one time, and I'm very happy about that. So.
Same.
Yeah.
I think I have, and I just like seethed and like ground my teeth. Mm-hmm. PewDiePie! Yeah, we're talking about PewDiePie. He is, I still think, the highest watched, highest subscribed, highest engrossing YouTuber at this point for some fucking reason. So we got to talk about news. We got to talk about Soundboard.
¿Te enteraste lo que pasó? ¿Tú no viste la noticia?
Let's talk about news real quick. Again, shitty, shitty news, the Christchurch, New Zealand shooting. People, so that, you know, dude put out this whole manifest, and then like at the end was like, subscribe to PewDiePie, and then like started shooting people up. And people were like, it's PewDiePie's fault. And it's like, okay, fine. It's not directly PewDiePie's fault, but like, dude, ironically, in air quotes, you know, extremified this motherfucker.
Right.
Extremified. Well, there it is again.
From this article, extremified. I like it. there's a Daily Got article called, it's loading.
Mm-hmm.
PewDiePie's alt-right ties are impossible to ignore. It's from the Daily Dot. And then quote from that article, tragedies like this don't exist in a vacuum, end quote. They start with something like, obviously it's not his fault directly, but tragedies like this don't exist in a vacuum. And PewDiePie has throughout his tenure on YouTube, put some super problematic shit up. But problematic is an understatement. I should say some super fucking racist shit. Mm-hmm. I think it was he paid someone to, like, while being filmed for television or some shit like that, hold up a sign that said, like, death to Jews or some shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, it was a joke, man. Like, it was just fun. It was an edgy meme that I did, man. You know.
So he's an edgelord.
Yeah.
Oh, super, super edgelord. If you look at who he follows, this article talks about it. If you look at who he follows on Twitter, it's like Sam Harris and like all these all right people. You know, here's Jordan Peterson. Here's Ben Shapiro. Mr. Shapino himself. Steven Crowder, another fucking like right wing dude on the blaze. A lot of people like that.
So what is it about YouTube that, you know, lends success to these guys? Yeah.
I think he got extremely lucky, to be frank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got extremely lucky in that
he was on it early. Like, he's been around from the start. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was on it early. He did some content that people found entertaining. And his early content was like not like he never did stuff that was even vaguely political. Just him doing Let's Play. He's, for those of you that don't know, he is a geez, I am sober and almost fell out of this chair.
You're quote unquote sober.
Correct. In air quotes. Just like PewDiePie is quote unquote not a racist.
Right. Doesn't see race.
Right. So for the uninitiated, PewDiePie, if you're listening, you probably know who this is, but PewDiePie is like the most successful YouTuber in terms of subscribers, viewers, and money. And he came to fame a few years ago as such, still has been like crowned highest YouTuber since a few years. He started like just doing Let's Plays, playing video games. Streaming. And you know, it was relatively apolitical content, but then he now is more basically a vlogger. Like, I don't know, he does some gaming shit now, but he just like vlogs and talks at the camera now, just fucking here, just because he can, and he has a bunch of supporters. recently came into like the mainstream conversation when the Christchurch shooting happened at the mosque in New Zealand, and people, as he said, subscribe to PewDiePie at the end of it. This is, thank you for growling at PewDiePie. I appreciate it. It was the right energy.
Bubba, that's his name, is rightfully upset.
That's right. Bubba's got the right energy.
Great.
Towards PewDiePie. It's Mr. Pew himself.
Fantastic name, Bubba.
He has an underbite, too, if you can imagine.
Oh, no. Does he fish for shrimp? Oh, sad. Oh, Bubba. Bubba died. Oh, God damn it. Bubba died. Anyway. Yeah, PewDiePie has... The one I mentioned, the Death to Jews thing, was a whole fucking thing. And he's done other racist shit that I didn't write down in our doc for the episode, but you could just look up PewDiePie and look up the racist shit he's done. The alt-right ties is, fuck it. Let's start reading a few of the bullet points here. He incorporated anti-Semitic themes and imagery into 9 of his videos, one of which called for the death to all Jewish people. Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. He said the N-word doing a gaming live stream. He did do that and was like, oh, it's just a thing that people say while gaming, man.
As did also, Fortnite streamer guy with the purple hair. Ninja also.
Oh, Ninja, word. I know him. Isn't he also a Smash player?
No.
Oh, never mind that.
I would know. Like, damn.
We're talking about the N-word like hard R. Like,
yeah. No A. No A.
The hardest of ours. Like, it's not good in the slightest. Okay, so yeah, also dude is, like, just says sexist shit all the time. The quote here is, he frequently makes casually sexist comments, even going as far as to victim blame. Next point, he has a diss track. It says,
what?
His diss track against YouTube rival T-Series. Who the fuck is T-Series?
Like the calculator? That's amazing.
Yes, the Texas Instruments. Oh, goddamn. Yeah, the Blood Moon's good. You're right.
It is. It's so good.
It's actually like...
It is so good.
It instills the right amount of like horror
and fear.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you're fucked now. It's another shot.
The Blood Moon in Legend of Zelda is not really that big of a deal.
No, it's not.
You're like, oh, everything's alive again. Okay, cool.
In fact, you know, I feel like there's a lot of farming strategies, honestly, you know, for like trying to get.
Yes, for the guardian thing. Parts and stuff. Yeah. Totally.
So to some, it's a great sound. And to us, it's a great sound because we drink tequila again. Yeah.
We get to drink. You know, maybe, fuck, let's get some Desert Door sponsorship. Yo, I'm going to reach out to them. They're going to be like, nah, but I'm going to do it anyway.
You should do it anyway.
Who?
Shoot your shot.
Desert Store is the people that we were talking about from Texas, the Sotol.
Oh, yeah.
It's not tequila, but it's a agave plant that's similar to tequila.
There are so many sponsorships we should be getting. Espolón, probably.
Yes. Correct. Nah. I've moved on from Espolón to now Cimar. Anyway. Cimar. Gotta roll that R.
Yeah.
I can't be Cimarron. I'm not gonna do that. I'm fucking bilingual. I'm not gonna fucking say Cimarron.
I think it's
Cimarron.
Yeah. My turn to count.
Manchac.
Is it?
Guadalupe.
Man, fucking Manchac. Guadalupe. Get the fuck out of here, Guadalupe. I have said Guadalupe, and I apologize. Every time I've said Guadalupe. Guadalupe is the main street, the drag, as they call it in Austin. There, anyway.
I'll drag you.
Or if you TLM. Please don't.
I don't want to.
Cheers.
I don't want to. 3, 2, 1. Tequila.
Eric, are you like overshooting with that mason jar? Woo-wee! Got that burn in the mouth. You know, I woke up with... You know, now that we're getting older, the hangovers I get every time, it's just a fucking sinus headache is what it is. I wake up and I'm like, fuck, it's the front of my face just feels like shit. Every time I like am up late and or drink a lot. Uh-huh. And I was just going to say the burn of the liquor now is actually like opening up my sinuses and I feel fine.
See, I don't get any more headache. Hangovers, like I just feel really terrible the next day. Like, you know, my stomach, I feel like, oh, it needs to come out. But that's
so you get
because
nauseous, like
like, it, you just feel it, like, in the pit of your stomach, like, when you first wake up and you're still a little bit tipsy. But I don't get headaches. Nausea. Yeah, not hot nausea.
Okay, that's good.
Because yeah. I have become an adult and started paying a little bit more for nicer things.
Correct.
Yeah.
Which cause I like the quality, like,
good for everybody. That's great.
It makes a difference. Like, I like champagne a lot. Mm-hmm. So
can't drink Andre.
Can't get the Andre or the Cooks anymore because right. It gives me a really bad headache.
What about but, the, like, orange label Prosecco? What is that stuff called?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I don't it's remember cheap. The name. It's super cheap.
It's
I can't
decent.
Get that.
Is it bad or is it decent? Am I wrong?
It's
my decent
good.
Was a not yeah. strongly appealing.
I think that's pop. Prima Mazzo or something like that. Yeah, I want to say that's what it is. And it's good, but it's also not good for you.
Sure, yeah. Sure. No, but I feel you on the, like, if you buy better quality stuff, you will not feel like shit. As a distiller, yeah. I can tell people that, like, the cheaper stuff is cheap because they cut corners and include a lot. Like, in the distillation process, in the beginning, like, literal acetone, like nail polish remover, comes yeah. out of the process. And it's not a lot. It's, like, a very small amount relative to the volume that you ferment, but
oh,
it's there.
Yeah. Good. Good.
And if you want to cut corners, you can include a little bit of that shit and the other higher alcohols that evaporate off first.
Mm-hmm.
And methanol. There's a lot of, like, methanol, namely, in, cheap liquor. Yikes. And some acetone. And it's not enough methanol to be, like, bad for your health. Like, you know, methanol famously, or infamously, I should say, talking about moonshiners, methanol is a thing that people are like, oh, if you moonshine, you'll go blind. It's like, no, only if you drink, like, pure methanol will you go blind. But which, like, alcoholics did, and also, like, back then they were looking at, like, industrial alcohols that had methanol in it. To drink because they were fucking alcoholics. Anyway, the methanol and the acetone in the cheap shit, they cut it out less, is what gives you a really shitty hangover. Also, some other compounds. But point being, they don't do a good job of, like, cutting out the bad shit because it's cheaper not to.
So if you're listening to this, step your pussy up and buy better alcohols.
I need that on the
podcast title.
Soundboard.
Podcast
step,
title.
Step your pussy up. I'm putting that on the soundboard, like, ASAP. ASAP. I'm putting it.
Straight up!
I'm putting it on the fucking soundboard. It is going in.
Love it.
It's going in. The cue, I'm going in. The song.
I'm going in. I'm that
hard.
One?
I'm going hard. Yeah, that one.
Okay.
Anyway.
Hey, it's Daniel again. I'm here to invite you, dear listener, to step your pussy up and help me out with this podcast. I have a Patreon account. The Patreon account is at $10 a month of the $30 a month. That is my goal. If you help me reach said goal of $30 a month, you will be the lucky recipient of a shot glass branded with the Tequila logo, which I haven't even redesigned yet. I'm in the middle of doing it right now, actually. That is coming in the next, like, probably month or two. So head to patreon.com/tequila. Again, that's Patreon, which is spelled patreon.com/tequila. TECHQUILA. Help me out. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Shot glass coming straight to you. All right. Enjoy the show. Bye.
Great.
Night to YouTube and shitty things that suck. So PewDiePie fucking blows. He fucking blows. If you like him, fuck you. Like, straight up fuck you. I'm sorry.
I feel like this podcast has just become, like, just, like, grievance. Just,
yeah,
like.
Yeah, it's just like, fuck. If you like Joe Rogan, fuck you. If you like
it's like, this guy sucks. You. This guy fucking sucks.
Yeah. PewDiePie fucking blows. I'm not going to read the rest of the list of all the shit
I actually do briefly want to talk about. Yeah, he's horrible. I do want to talk about the Pokemon thing, though, too, a little bit, actually.
Wait. Okay, yeah. We're done with PewDiePie, then talk about the Pokemon thing.
Yeah.
And then Ash, talk about your thing. Go with the Pokemon. Okay, so PokeTuber. So PokeTuber.
Stop bossing me around.
Wait, okay, hold up. As the resident Pokemon nerd.
Yeah, that's you.
I'm a huge Pokemon nerd. I gotta interject here. There are a lot of YouTubers that do Pokemon stuff, and I love them.
Yeah.
I don't know what else I was going to say. I'm drunk.
I lost the thread.
No.
I lost the thread.
This drunken is brought to you by Cimarron. I'm like Vanna Whiting the bottle.
And it was backwards.
You just say Vanna White? You're like the second person today who made a Vanna White reference to me. What's going on?
Yeah, she's 2003? What is this?
Yeah.
2003 is even too late to reference.
No, like, earlier today, my friend was like, Vanna White! Looking skinny like Vanna White. I'm like, all right, who is that again? Like,
skinny?
I don't know.
There's not probably better skinny references to make.
Right.
I don't know. Huh. Listen, I was
interesting context.
I was drunk when she said it. I've been drunk all day.
Yes. This is a weird ass. I mean, whatever. Whatever comes to mind. Anyway.
Yeah.
Talk about y'all shit. Go. PokeTubers. PokeTubers are a thing. I like Pokemon. I watch a lot of PokeTubers.
You love Pokemon. Yeah. You love Pokemon, but I got something to tell you, Dan.
Yeah, what's up?
The YouTube community and Twitch community of Pokemon is rife with sexual predation. How about that? Huh?
You mean like the rest of the gaming industry and the internet?
Well, but okay, that was good. Okay. That's fair.
Anyway.
But
I'm not gonna shit on my fandom.
But that it is a fandom, would you not say, that appeals very much to children?
I mean, yes, to a certain
degree. Teenagers, young adults.
Yeah,
you.
Absolutely.
So,
7-year-old Cuban American people, yeah.
Same with
no shade at all.
Same with Minecraft. Same with Minecraft too. But
Minecraft is a completely different thing.
Well, yes and no. But
I mean, yeah, no. I was completely different from Pokemon. Okay, continue.
Okay, so there is a recent report.
We're calling it a report.
A report. A missive. A missive was sent out.
A bulletin was sent.
I received.
Okay, so there's this guy called.
He received a carrier pigeon.
Yes.
That's right.
I opened the window. I'm going to do just rumor mill right now.
It was going
like tap, 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 tap on the window. I opened it up. Cuckoo. Hello.
You mean like this?
Yeah.
Eric received a message in a bottle.
Yeah.
And it said the following.
It said the following. Yeah. Thank you for doing the rusty door. I appreciate that.
So
that's a callback for the real tequila heads out there. All right, so
what's the,
there's a man called Nathan Putnam who sounds like he belongs in a Crucible play, but his name is actually Nathan Putnam.
Was the problematic person the King Nappy himself, or was it someone in his community?
It was someone in his community.
Okay, so King Nappy is a cool dude in the PokeTuber scene. I don't know. I like his videos. That's all I had to say. Continue.
What he did is the King Nappy did not bring the issue to light soon enough, and he apologized for that. That's why he is
Kyle
the
McNeil, aka the King Nappy.
Yes.
So for but those who want to find it on Kotaku, the title of the article is "Accusations of Sexual Predation Shook Pokemon YouTube Community."
I'm shook. You're shook.
Shooketh.
Ashley shooketh. So there's a guy called Nathan Putnam who goes by the screen name Decadur, and he makes graphics for all these well-known Pokemon YouTubers. So, you know, he like does the stuff that makes their videos unique, basically, you know,
like he's their designer effectively.
Yeah. Like the little graphical flourishes or whatever. I don't watch this shit, you know, Dan. So he's been accused of approaching multiple underage girls, some as young as 15, and propositioning them for nudes. What?
Do we know how old this motherfucker is?
How old is he? That's a good question.
Do we know? I mean,
he's a grown-ass man, for sure.
Yeah, he's definitely like 20s. Late 20s, early 30s.
Okay.
That's a good point, Dan. I actually don't know. I don't know how old he is, actually, but I assure you it was inappropriate. And it was all lubricated through YouTube's video sharing platform. Yeah,
Eric,
I know.
What the fuck choice of word was that?
I was just trying to draw some attention to this issue.
It was genuinely awful.
Did I catch your ear?
As Daniel was like deep throating that bottle.
Right.
Yes, I was drinking coquito and I was like.
Well, that's how you should feel. That's how you should feel after these accusations have come to light. Just trying to wake you up, sheeple. Are you awake?
Okay. Yes, we are now.
I am a free thinker.
Oh, God.
All right. So I don't mean to make light of all this. This is horrible. And a very brave young girl who's now 19 goes by the name Sylveon. She posted a YouTube video, 25-minute YouTube video entitled, what was it called? Finally Coming Forward, where she accuses Nathan Putnam of what I just said before. And incredible bravery on her part.
So this guy, what he did is he
aggressively demanded naked pictures, even after
just an aggressive, like fucking
just real aggro. And this is like corners of the internet that we want to think is safe spaces for passionate fan bases. Yeah, fucking Pokemon, man. Come on, sorry to interrupt. Like, can't we just fucking live and enjoy Pokemon together with no nudes? You know?
Sneak peek into the next episode. We're doing an episode on how like Pokemon is kind of like a refuge for like queer and people of color and stuff like that.
Okay.
Folks.
Video game streaming as a whole, I feel like.
Yeah, especially like the Nintendo stuff, and then on top of that, Pokemon, I feel like, is like a refuge for especially queer folks, but on top of that, like people of color, on top of that, just like weirdos in general. Like, I don't know.
Furries?
I don't know. People, outcasts, I should say.
Got it.
Oh, God. Let's not talk about furries. no shame. I don't want to kink shame, but I don't talk about it either. Who's Ash, is it your turn?
I think it's my turn.
So that's all I had to say about Pokemon. It's horrible.
It's the worst game ever. No, this Decadur guy, so he is a predator.
Yep.
But by predator, we mean he hasn't, like, assaulted any of these women.
No, he's just made...
He's preying on them. And,
He's just being a
creepy old man, basically.
It's damage we can't even calculate, because, like, what if he's, like, turned all these people off to what was once their passion? You know, that's a horrible thing in and of itself.
It's really, really sad. Like,
some of the gay boys are with me as a bi guy. Anyway.
What?
Can we talk... Oh, man, let's not talk about how... Gay men
speaking of which, before we take the shot, what do you think, Daniel, about Detective Pikachu? Are you excited?
Good question.
Holy fuck. I am literally horrified at the live-action Pokemon, especially Ludicolo. Ludicolo haunts my dreams, as does Apom. Who else haunted my nights and days? Apom, for sure. Just like the screaming monkey in the video. I do love seeing some of them live action that aren't horrifying. Jigglypuff is a little horrifying. Ludicolo is horrifying. I am going to watch the fuck out of that movie, though. I'm so ready. Like, I'm not one of these Pokemon people who's like, it's not like real Pokemon, man. No, I'm ready. I'm just the CGI.
What do you mean real Pokemon? That in and of itself is a fallacy.
Yeah, there are a couple of folks who are like, not real Pokemon, whatever, man. Now, the CGI thing, just like, it is a little, like CGI Mr. Mime is a little disturbing.
Mr. Mime is horrifying.
Right.
In any context.
Yeah, but especially CGI.
He has supernatural powers, man. He can make invisible walls and like, he's fucking Ash's mom, probably. So
what an ass. Mr. Mime's an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
Mr.
I'm really
Mime.
To see that.
He has an honorific. Mr. Mime? That's his name? Mr. Mime.
Do they call him Mime-san in Japanese?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think
Mime-san.
So that, hold on. Now I got it.
Probably. Oh. Wait, no, take the shot first. Take the shot first. Then look at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Turn. All right.
Turn.
Yeah.
Three,
two, one, salute.
Okay.
Salute.
L'chaim.
It's Passover.
Whatever the fuck languages else.
It's Passover and it's Easter weekend and Good Friday.
It is.
Oh, yeah. Seder was yesterday or some shit?
Yeah, yesterday.
What is Seder? What does that mean?
Seder? It's just
what does that word mean?
Dinner. Like religious dinner.
Oh, okay. Dinner.
Yeah.
When people say Seder, I thought it was within the context of Passover, but it's within the context of any
it can be any holiday. The dinner associated with it. Yeah.
Wait, I gotta find the Japanese translation of Mr. Mime. Pokemon database. Will this have the Japanese one?
Maybe.
God damn it. I wanna see you know what, Will? Sarabee.net or whatever. Here's Sarabee. Hold on. I gotta know Okay, show me languages. Here it is, Japanese. I can't read that. It's barriered.
Oh.
In Romaji. I don't know. I don't speak Japanese. So I don't know what that means. In German, it's Pantimos.
Pantimos.
Korean. I can kind of read Korean. What is that? Ma. Is that an, I got my Hangul. I don't shit up Hangul. So let's not read that. Anyway. So yeah, Pokemon community. This dude is. This. We're going to talk about the like online / video game communities. This very much, unfortunately, does not seem unusual to me.
Yeah, not surprised.
Like, I am operating. I mean, like, you know, my partner Sadie will also often make fun of me when I go to like gay bars and like dudes like aggressively hit on me. And I'm pretty bi and I'm like kind of into dudes, but like not if they're gonna be like super fucking aggressive like that.
Oh, you know? Yeah. And you like, see, I've recently started like got a dating app, and the messages that I get.
Do you get dick pics?
Like unsolicited. Like people messaging me. Even on like Facebook. I'm on Bumble.
No.
That's the only one I use. But even on Facebook, I'll get people
like Facebook
who message
Messenger?
Me. Yeah, and they'll be like, "Hey, beautiful, whatever." And then if I don't respond, they'll be like, "Well, fuck you, cunt." So it's like it's pretty much like messages. Like I just asked on Facebook, I was like, "Do other girls like get stuff like this a lot?" And it's very, very rampant. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah. And like whenever I tell Say, "Oh, this happened to me," and she's like, "Huh? Welcome to being a woman."
Yeah,
with
right.
Straight dudes. It's like, ah, oh, goddamn it, and. Yeah, I don't know. It's really this fucked up. Wait, so I remember you also actually posting something.
Yeah.
That was, fuck, was it like BuzzFeed or some shit?
It's that YouTube. Like, or, about like just the messages that people.
Yeah, the messages.
Yeah, it was. BuzzFeed article
was like dude sending like super aggressive, awful shit. Like,
yeah.
Like it was like fuck you cunt times a million. Like it was. And I was like, Jesus Christ. It is bad. Anyway, so like this kind of thing, like not trying to make light of it, but I'm saying it's probably more common than in any community, whether it's like the Pokemon community, which I I'm in these like Pokemon community chats and stuff, or this one Pokemon community that I chat with people in.
I bet you
Slack
are. Yeah,
and like of course I am. And
on
like,
Slack,
like. Yeah, there's like a Slack for It's Super Effective, which is a Pokemon podcast. It's like the premise.
Oh, that's a good channel name. Yeah. I do like that.
I don't know, like the folks there are very like very trans positive, very queer positive, very POC positive in general. And I feel like most like JRPG, most Nintendo fans are like that. But then like whenever there's like the internet anonymity thing, internet anonymity thing like makes people, but it's not even anonymous, I suppose, because dude was like public with his identity, right? Like people knew who he was.
Everybody knew who he was. Yeah.
So like
in the community,
anonymous. Okay. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah. So everything's awful. YouTube's awful. It encourages.
The world's awful.
It lures in like a safe, you know, a false safe space. Like I was just saying before. So it's just very upsetting to hear stuff like this.
Yeah, I mean,
essentially, is the point of me mentioning this at all? So
it might be a false safe space, but I do think that like there's a level of community that people find online that it does get violated. Of course,
it gets violated. At the same time, I think the good outweighs the bad. Maybe. He said naively with no proof.
Jury's still out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I want to agree with you, but I don't know if I do.
Yeah.
Okay, Ash, you were talking about this, so you explain it. I'm not going to try.
Okay, so on April 9th, the House Judiciary Committee had a congressional hearing on the rise of white nationalism,
April 9th of
which
2018.
No, this year, 2019. So like 2 weeks.
Oh fuck!
Ago.
So like literally 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Ago.
Which is kind of cool because I've never seen a congressional hearing
cool.
on that.
It's cool because like was it the FBI like formally condemned like black nationalism or some
right.
shit like that?
Black like, extremists, black identity extremists,
or
which
some shit like
is
that.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And how, like, they used to track white supremacists, like, regularly, and then they just stopped after 9/11, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, they identified, I mean, like, even, like, in the past, like, I mean, folks like Malcolm X and, like, the Black Panthers and shit like that as, like, terrorist threats, and then, like, these, like, white motherfuckers that are shooting up.
Even now, with, like, Ferguson activists, the fact that there are so many that are dead. That's
a few of them got murdered, straight up, like, fucking, like, I mean, oh, God, that's a whole other can of worms, but, like, I talking about conspiracy theories on YouTube, I'm kind of buying into the fact that, like, there's something going on there. There's something going on there. Continue, sorry.
So during the hearing, they streamed it live on YouTube, and they had to shut down numerous chat rooms because they were being flooded for over an hour by racist comments when thousands of people were tuning in.
So, like, those of you that have seen, like, a YouTube live feed, on the right side often there's, like, live comments, and, they shut it down because, I mean, like, again, like, YouTube, Anonymous, and we'll talk about it in a second, the alt-right has a fucking stranglehold on YouTube. I don't want to say they have a stranglehold in the YouTube community, but, like, the alt-right is, like, very good at the internet.
Yeah, they are. And when viewers opened up YouTube live streams during the first hour of the hearings, they were greeted with, like, fast-moving chat rooms filled with racist, anti-Semitic, and anti-Muslim rhetoric. Alexandra Walden, Google's public policy counsel, explained to lawmakers the company's actions against bigotry on YouTube. Almost half of the screen on the YouTube-hosted stream was just filled with, like, vitriol. Several YouTube channels live streaming the hearing, including the Congressional Committee's own channel, shut down their live chats as it, like, became flooded with hate speech. And then, meanwhile, the popular and overtly racist conspiracy theory YouTube channel Red Ice was fundraising while live streaming the hearing as their own band of bigots filled their channel's chat room with more shit. For the first hour of the hearings, YouTube search delivered people right to that channel also.
Wait, what's the, folks who are listening, what's the article that you're reading from?
I checked out this one from Gizmodo. They were talking about hate speech and how a YouTube spokesperson said it's YouTube shuts down chats after streams of House hearing on white nationalism.
There we go.
Are flooded by white nationalists. It's just really ironic that we've come to this space because of the amount of...
Sorry to interrupt on such a...
But to, like, end it, it's just ironic that we've come to that point because they don't have any type of way to check this at all.
Yeah. We'll talk about this in a second. But yeah,
I just linked it so y'all can see the...
Oh, okay, great.
Sorry, I thought I did it earlier.
Yeah, it was blue. I was like, wait, what? YouTube just on jazz after a House hearing on white nationalism flooded by white nationalism. Yeah, so, like, as someone who, I mean, like, you know, like any millennial, I'll, like, illegally stream shit, and sometimes the links are on YouTube Live. And, like, I'll watch, it's usually, like, soccer games, and I'll watch soccer games, and the comment section, even the fucking comment section on a fucking soccer game are, like, full of racist shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, this is while, because FIFA has this initiative called Say No to Racism. Right? And they'll put it on the side with the ads, and it'll say no to racism on the side. And you'll see, like, say no to racism in the middle of the fucking video, and someone says, like, the N-word in the comments, and you're like, get the fuck out of here. Like, it's fucking wild.
What does it have to do with anything?
I'm sorry?
Just mess with you. So what does it have to do with anything?
Just the, you know, YouTube in general. YouTube Live comments. Yeah. Okay, so are y'all ready?
Oh, yeah, no.
I'm all poured up.
Okay, me too. Sorry, my sister just came in the house, and she was trying to steal my pluckers.
Oh.
So I was making sure she did not take my pluckers.
You were like, don't eat my food, bitch.
Yeah. And I'm like, she's like looking at me like with her eyes half closed. I'm like, are you high? And she's like, yeah. I was like, don't take my pluckers home.
Don't eat. Get your own pluckers. Wait, is your family in Austin? Where's your family?
What's that?
Is your family in Austin or no?
No, we're in Killeen.
Dude, I am very familiar with Killeen.
You are?
Wow. Yes.
Okay, I'll tell you why. Because my mother... Oh, God. God. Okay, let's take the shot and I'll talk about it.
Okay.
Is it my turn? Is my turn or Ash's turn?
I think it's
Ash's turn?
Yeah.
It's you, Dan.
It's you.
Okay, I'm drunk. Okay, 3, 2, 1, salud.
Yeah.
Drago, I am familiar with Colleen because my mother raised me in... burn. Sinus is opening. I feel better. For lack of a better word, I was raised in a cult. Eric is familiar with it because he went to high school with me and I was like not available for Tuesdays and Thursdays because of this cult.
Is that why?
Yeah, that was why. You just realized that?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, actually. I don't know.
Oh, for real? My mom goes to this fucking, she calls it a Bible class, but it's I hate to say the word cult, but it's a cult. It's called.
Well, you just always called it Bible class, so that's just all I ever thought. I was like, it's like Hebrew school. Or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, but it was three times a week. It's called the Institute of Biomedical Research. They believe that the founder was like, so they use the like quote unquote Jewish words for God. So they use Yahweh, Elohim, and Yahshua to to reference to Jesus and stuff. God. And I was raised in that. And point being, the folks in Killeen that I know are like close family friends of ours through the IDMR. The IDMR was like majority black folks because it's like it's like pseudo-Baptist almost. But these folks that we know in Killeen are Puerto Rican. My mom's Cuban. Obviously, my parents are Cuban. And so like the folks in Killeen are family friends of ours through the so like I'm familiar with Killeen because of this.
I'm sorry if it's so loud in the back.
It's getting lively. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. I'm recording.
How unprofessional.
It's fine. Your family's Latin. I forgive it.
Right. And they're drinking. So that's there's right. That.
You got some black skin folks and they're drinking and it's getting loud.
Hell yeah.
It's gonna be also in Killeen. Man, Killeen. I know Killeen. Familiar with
Killeen. Most people know Killeen because some rapper came and performed at one of the clubs down here and he had like phallic shaped fruit and handed out into the audience and girls started sucking on the fruit or like vegetables like damn. Cucumbers and eggplants and stuff and people got it on video and put it on Snap and so like I went to work the next day and I met this background actor. He was like he was from Nebraska. And so he was like, where are you from? And I was like, oh, Killeen. He was like, I know about Killeen. And I was like, how? And he was like, the video that was on Snapchat. And I was like, what video? And he showed me this video. And I was like, oh, my gosh, how embarrassing.
Wait, are you like straight up like from Killeen?
I was moved like here in like 90s. Yeah, I was raised, not raised. Born. Yeah. Because okay. Yeah.
So you're like so, from.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm
like you went to high school here, and so shit like, there.
Yeah, so, all my students.
Cucumbers, eggplants, bananas.
Cucumbers, eggplants, yes to bananas, carrots.
Well, you know like, what? These are all very nutritious items, so I don't see the problem here.
Trash. My Lanta.
Trash.
Trash.
You know what? We're saying all this bad stuff about YouTube, but... I'm excited for Cobra Kai season 2, man. I don't know.
Right.
I think it's going to be great.
I love season 1.
Cobra Kai was sick.
It was so good.
I see it recommended all the time because I like pay for YouTube.
My God, it was so good.
It's very good. You should watch.
Why do I pay for YouTube? Why am I paying?
Why are you paying for YouTube?
I don't know. I got grandfathered in because I was paying for Google, what's it called, the music?
Google Play Music?
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, so we got these two things that are great. Okay, let's talk about the end of the rabbit hole. We've gotten to the end of the fucking rabbit hole.
Yeah, we've talked about all the awful people on there, all the horrible things that done. Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah.
So when you get fucking plugged in by Joe Rogan or fucking Jordan Peterson, whatever the fuck, adjacent to a lot of people's fucking philosophies and shit is fucking, we're going to yell. Let's yell. Sorry. I just wanted to match your family.
No. Jesus. And I think it was like the loudest action movie to watch. And I told them to be quiet and everything. And then my high-ass sister comes in and not hell breaks loose.
I mean, you know, that's how marijuana works sometimes with family. God, I wish I could be high around my family, unfortunately.
It's 420 today, by the way. Happy 420, everybody.
Happy 420, you guys.
Happy Hitler's birthday, which is awful.
Okay, Daniel.
I had to bring it down because we're about to talk about the alt-right. Who?
Who?
I don't know her.
I don't know. I don't even know.
Okay, so alt-right.
Alt-right.
So the whole YouTube rabbit hole ends here. I mean, there are – before we get into the alt-right, let's plug some great leftists on YouTube.
What do you mean before we get into the alt-right? What the fuck have we been talking about?
We've been talking about the pseudo-alt-right this whole time. Let's be frank.
All right. Okay.
But before we get into the
– I got to go soon. How much more are we going to talk about?
We have to talk about so many things.
Oh, okay. Man.
So before we get into the alt-right, real quick, let's just mention some cool people you should subscribe to on YouTube.
Okay.
I love ContraPoints. Cat Black is also really cool.
Yeah.
Philosophy Tube, very cool. These are all like fun leftists that do really good shit on YouTube. There's a lot more. I just named two. H Bomber Guy, I've mentioned previously in the podcast, did a live stream charity for a trans organization in the UK where he lives. And it like had people on the stream, like fucking AOC. Ocasio-Cortez came on, fucking like all kinds of people came on the stream while he was playing for like 50-something hours, and he raised something like $300,000 for this trans organization, for this pro-trans organization in the UK.
Nice.
Super dope. H-Bomber, super cool. His videos are awesome. So we're talking shit on YouTube, but there's some fun people on YouTube that you should support, and those are the folks. Anyway, so getting into the nitty-gritty of the shitty part of YouTube. I'm just going to start quoting some shit from the fucking articles I read. So there are a lot of articles. If you just Google like alt-right YouTube, you get a lot of articles about the alt-right and YouTube because it's a fucking common thing. And there was God, I've mixed the notes here, so it's hard to reference which article says what. But Ashley almost knocked over her microphone.
I was hoping no one saw.
Oh, I saw. I heard also. So Variety.com has a article called YouTube Far-Right Influencers. It is a tight-knit alternative influencer network. This phrase was coined by someone who's been doing research into the alt-right on YouTube. And she's been calling it an alternative influencer network. And the way it works is, I mean, these folks generally position themselves like Joe Rogan or Jordan Peterson, whoever, as like opposed to SJW-ism and feminism and all that shit. But they have like more mainstream people host them. So like Joe Rogan is like pseudo, I don't know. I would call him like pseudo centrist, really though. But pseudo-centrist, and they host each other on their channels, right? So, like, Joe Rogan hosts, like, Jordan Peterson and Sam Harris and all these people without, like, challenging their views and, like, agreeing with them and shit. So that's common. And the far right, when they're on those networks in general, tend to cast themselves as, like, alternatives to the mainstream media in general. So folks, like, after YouTube extremizes them, I'm coining that term,
this is your third time saying it, so yeah, it's yours. It's yours now.
Extremifying.
Yeah.
That's right. As YouTube extremifies these folks, they become subscribers to these people, these far-right people who, like, embed all these seeds of far-right and extremely racist ideology. It's extremely, I don't know if pseudo-fascist is the right way of saying it or just straight-up fascist, but, racist and fascist ideology to these people. It's mostly just like a reactionary opposed to SJW kind of thing. What's interesting about these folks is they're extremely fucking lucrative. And they follow the same business model as a lot of beauty bloggers.
It's funny you mentioned beauty bloggers, actually.
Yeah.
And I think this goes into what you're saying a little bit, in that, like, one incredible thing about YouTube, for better or for worse, it's become such a lucrative vehicle for people who know how to effectively leverage it. And 2 weeks ago, I was at BeautyCon at Jacob Javits Center. Yeah. For my job.
Oh, I know Jacob Javits Center. I'm familiar.
Of course.
Oh, God.
Oh, okay.
For the uninitiated, we're here. For the uninitiated, the Jacob Javits Center is on the east?
So all the way on the west side, near the aircraft carrier. We should probably start wrapping this up soon, by the way, but yeah. So last shot.
30 point shoot.
Yeah.
Last shot. You're calling it. Wow.
I'm calling it. I got to go soon.
Non-host calling it.
I'm host calling it.
Ashley's our host now. She's calling it.
Everybody, welcome to Tequila, the show where we drink and talk about technological news.
See, that sounds much better than whenever you said it, Dan. I don't know.
That's because
Eric is here too.
Beyonce told me to do better.
That's right. We're fucking up, honestly. 3, 2, 1, tequila.
Cheers.
Okay, shot taken. Okay, if we're going to... Fine, if you're rushing me, bitch.
All right, so I'll be really quick, too. 2 weekends ago, I was at Beautycon, Jacob Javits Center, Westside Convention Center in New York City. I was there for work. But it was, like, totally fascinating to see, like, an entire corner of the internet that I knew nothing about as an ugly...
As an ugly man.
Like, just, like... You know, like beauty bloggers, YouTube beauty bloggers, people who have made entire livings out of makeup tutorials.
Right.
And these were people who are like coming on a red carpet that I was doing for work that I was covering. And I would ask my colleague, I'm like, who is that? They're like, oh, yeah, they're big. They have like 500,000 followers or whatever. I was like, oh, for
Jessica
what?
Jessica Jones.
Or,
a Marvel character.
No, it was not Jessica Jones. But it was like people with like huge makeup tutorial YouTube followings. And it's
Wait,
just
drop
like.
A name. Go.
I don't fucking remember. I have no idea. I was there for Cardi B. She never showed up. So, or she showed up like 4 hours late. So, like, we didn't stick around. That's why I was there. But no, I don't know. There are like all these people who I don't remember their names, but they're huge and they're making so much more money than any of us because they've been giving a great vehicle to do that. So,
yep.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's some representation to be said there. Like, just. I don't know what I was trying to say with this. I don't know. Just a white guy. Please continue.
Jewish, or you're like vaguely a person of
Vaguely.
Vaguely a person of
Ashkenazic. Ashkenazic.
That should be in your bio somewhere.
Vaguely a person
Very
of
vaguely.
You're like person of color ally. You can put that up.
Just ally. I'm on your side.
I'm
on your
an
side.
Ally for everyone. Including the alt-right.
Nope.
0%.
No, sir.
Okay, getting back into it. So, like,
yeah, just getting back into it. It's cool that, like, YouTube, like, you know, if we can say something positive about it,
it empowers folks,
and, you know, it's given careers to people.
Yeah, I mean, like,
by paths they never would have imagined. So that's cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Talking about the folks you're talking about like the people that I try to quickly mention. I have not mentioned all the people that I love and follow, but I've mentioned some of them. Because the reason I brought up beauty bloggers is because, like, with the alt-right, seemingly it's the same business model. So I'm just going to read a couple bullet points here. So they use, like, the same tactics, like featuring one another constantly on each other's, like, channel and stuff, kind of like how I'm doing with Ashley and you. But here's the thing is, like, they're super fucking savvy in getting attention to, like, boost their views and stuff and have it in, like, a lucrative model, a lucrative influencer model, right? And so here's a quote from one of the articles, a very interesting quote, or I found it interesting. Quote, stripped of ideology, Alex Jones's business model isn't so different than a Kardashian's. He just sells different vitamins, end quote.
True.
Yep.
Very true.
So it's a very similar business model where you're just like selling some shit as you talk to a webcam kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That's basically what Alex Jones does. So I'm going to outline here real quick some of their strategies that I found super fucking wild looking into this. And preface, there's a video by the channel ContraPoints, one of my favorite YouTube channels by far. This trans woman named Natalie Wynn does amazing content. And one of her videos is about, it's like something like how to decode the alt-right or something like that. Let me see if I can get the right title real quick. I'll just put the alt-right ContraPoints search.
Okay.
Decrypting the Alt-Right is the name of the video. And it's how to recognize a fascist. And she had to put the A in fascist as an at sign because people were flagging the video previously. Fascists were fucking alt-right people were flagging the video previously because the word fascist was in it. Like, they're very smart about this kind of shit.
Uh-huh. Anyway,
brilliant video. My point being, bringing it up, is that the alt-right is extremely strategic, very unified, and very good at getting not only, like, culture, but, like, the internet to do what they want. And the left fucking sucks at this. And I want the left to do what they do. Because the left fucking blows at this. And the right, the alt-right especially, is very good at moving shit in their direction. And we fucking suck. Continuing. Right. So,
what about Howard Schultz?
Oh, God. Can we not talk about Howard Schultz? Where am I? Okay, so one of the strategies that they use that's very interesting, and this article, I'm not going to look it up, I'm sorry, but there's an article that talked about how these folks in a Discord chat, there was like an alt-right fascist Discord chat, they were like, hey, let's use sock puppet accounts on YouTube. For those of you who don't know, sock puppet accounts are like, you make like 5 or 6 accounts that are just like empty, you know, like anonymous accounts.
Oh yeah, I've done it before. Yeah.
Right.
His name's Charles Bryant.
There you go. Charles Bryant. Look him up.
His profile picture is Jeremy Lin. That's when I made it in 2012. Yeah.
So their strategies to do that, make Jeremy Lin-ass profiles, kind of. And they use – so what they do is observe the like-dislike ratio on videos. And then after an hour, they'll like check how much it changed and whatnot to see how videos do. So they use these sock puppet accounts to go on YouTube, influence the videos, like, dislike, comment on them to influence the algorithm. So not only is the algorithm like really shitty, but it is like something that is influenced by these folks who are really savvy on the internet and know what the fuck they're doing, and they're fucking fascist effectively. Okay, quote, when you go to a YouTube video and see it has 50% or more dislikes and a lot of critical comments, then people won't even watch the video, end quote. That's from the chat. That's from the Discord chat. And so like what they'll do is, like, despite the folks who are in the chat, despite them being like anti-immigrant, in this particular article I was pulling from, it was talking about Germany, specifically the German context and Germans trying to influence the German election. They would pose as foreigners because, like, foreigners have more credibility to, like, centrists and leftists, and so they would pose as like Turkish immigrants to Germany or like Serbian immigrants to Germany and stuff like that. And then like it would like diffuse, you know, centrists and leftists, you know, like views or ideology at that point. Right. So like they're being extremely strategic in how they're doing this. Again, talking about this article and the alt-right, quote, the trick to burying a YouTube video they didn't like would be to swarm its comments with sock puppet accounts simultaneously as if they were in conversation with each other, end quote. So, you know, like they very smartly will use their sock puppet accounts to like make videos look unpopular, downvote them, etc., which influences the algorithm. So you being suggested this alt-right shit is not a fucking coincidence. Mm-hmm. You know, like a lot of these folks are very strategic. The left is not the strategic. I wish we fucking were. I wish we would go on YouTube in fucking spades and do this kind of shit. But we don't because we suck for some reason. We infight a lot about stupid shit.
They're called purity wars. Purity.
Yeah, we have a lot
purity
of
purity tests.
We don't come together and like try to like influence the fucking mainstream on shit like the fucking right does. And I fucking hate it. But like with these sock puppet accounts, these fucking trolls switch between like literally 99 accounts. YouTube has effectively made it super easy for this to happen. Okay, quote, when one chat member said he only had 12 sock puppet accounts, another person recommended he verify his account. Unlike social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter, which sometimes require a person to reveal identifying information, a verified YouTube account only requires a phone number. Once verified, that person can make multiple usernames. And again, people can have up to 99 fucking usernames being verified. And
wow.
Remember the fucking platform. It's fucking wild. And again, another quote here. Once you cross a threshold of 1,000 subscribers, quote, parentheses, and 4,000 hours watched, end parentheses, you're eligible for YouTube's partner program and can start earning a small cut of the money made from running ads on your videos. The cut increases as your channel grows. And so with these sock puppet accounts, people can fucking subscribe to videos and shit. Subscribe to channels and watch videos and inflate the alt-right this way. Inflate the fascists, the racists, the sexists, the pieces of shit this way. Shut up. Fuck. Here we are. Me? Eric? Someone?
I thought we were done taking shots.
There was a shot timer, Eric.
Oh, God.
Is it Eric or us?
No, it's probably me.
Yeah, mumble and groan all you want, bitch. Like, we're going to take this shot.
Dan and I are friends.
We go back until like eighth grade.
And we have been.
Aww. Let me tell you about my best friend.
Whoa, slow down.
Unfortunately, I've known this piece of shit for too long.
Same.
I love you.
XOXO, Gossip Girl. Three, two, one, tequila.
This is the last shot. Yo, you're drinking out of that mason glass. You're like definitely, or mason jar. You're definitely over pouring for a shot, right? Or under? I can't tell how big that glass is.
I don't know.
Okay.
That's my reply. I don't know. I have no idea.
So, I don't know. What, do you all want to say anything? I'm going to
end. YouTube's horrible. People should... Not people.
Wait, so to bring it back, I think Ash brought it up earlier. Ash brought up, or maybe both of you did. Probably both of you. But one or both of y'all brought up how, you know, there is a genuine lack of, because of how Google is, there's a genuine lack of, like, human cultivation of the algorithm. Like, it's just because Google's like, oh, we'll use fucking algorithms and no humans, and it'll be great, right? That's part of it.
In the voice that everybody knows that they use. Correct.
Well, you know, like, capitalism, you don't have to fucking pay a bot to fucking comb through shit. You have to pay a human, though. But, you know, so there's that. They don't want to pay humans to do it. And on top of that, I don't know, like you, both of y'all brought that up, I think, in the beginning, the fact that, like, they will not, like, curate, I guess is the word, their algorithm, their feed.
Mm-hmm.
And they will not curate, like, all the reports. I'm quickly would like to bring up, there is this leftist comedy channel called The Serfs, like, as in, like, a serf of, you know, Europe. And, you know, like a feudal society, I should say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
not so, landowners.
That's right.
Basically.
The people who got fucked in Europe.
Dan and I were both in AP Euro, so.
That's right. European history, this is true. No, but so it's a comedy channel called The Serfs. And, like, I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago, the alt-right folks successfully got the channel, like, removed from YouTube. Because they, like, flagged it as inappropriate enough. You know, they coordinated and did it at the same time. Flagged it as inappropriate and shit. And for a week it was down, it was offline. And then they appealed it. It took a lot of folks in general to be like, hey, this is a channel I like. Please bring it back. Sorry, excuse me for that burp. So, like, that's an example of, like, the alt-right... these fascist motherfuckers, like, coordinating together to take down some leftist shit on YouTube. And the moral of the story ultimately is that, I mean, they are able to coordinate together effectively, and that we, as, like, you know, like, whatever you are, I consider myself a leftist, but we, as, like, the left in general, need to fucking do that shit.
Right.
We need to coordinate well, but also, like, Google is really shitty with curating their algorithms. I'll leave it to y'all to comment, but that's my take.
I think what we should take away from this is often people equate being bigoted with being unintelligent, And we can't do that, obviously.
No, these people are very intelligent.
They're so savvy, and they know they're millennials also. A lot of the people that are coming from the alt-right are millennials, and they know how to hook up a computer. They know how to search things correctly. Like, they know how to do this stuff. And we have to stop thinking that racism is a product of, you know, the past, and believe that it's still here. It's still here, and it's growing within generations that are both millennial and Gen Zers, because we have some really shitty people out there.
Right.
I mean, like Charlottesville is an example, right?
Exactly. So if we just need to make sure, like, companies need to keep that in mind and realize that they're just creating these monsters, and only way to end racism is to actually do some shit about it.
Well, in YouTube, talking about, like, creating monsters, like YouTube and Jack Dorsey of Twitter, and, like, the board of Twitter are all complicit in this shit, because they won't fucking do anything. They won't do shit about this. And, like, this is a problem. Like, I think it's a problem with, one, the fact that, like, we as, like, the left will not take advantage of the platform and do this shit for ourselves. And also, like, the people managing the platform will not do shit to stop these fucking racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, awful, generally human beings taking advantage of the platform.
And as I said earlier, the left needs to step their pussy up, basically.
Step, like,
it was true then. It's true now.
Stop pussyfooting around. Call a racist a racist.
Yes.
Do things about this, because I'm tired of being polite in the back and forth. I really don't give a fuck. And I'm not, I don't want to have my internet inundated by sexist, racist, Islamophobic assholes. I enjoy the internet, and I would like it free of those things.
Yeah. So I agree with you guys. I agree with you guys. But here's where I'm at, honestly.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of somewhere even a deeper level of concern, in terms of, like, partisan politics. Like, it's it's one step above that. I think like, we look at what YouTube offers us, for better or for worse, and to me it feels like the scariest stories we have in tech, we won't know the long-lasting repercussions of having something like this. So, like, are we having, like, a whole generation being raised that makes them more... Not even all right, but just more easily susceptible, like, more easily swayed by video? Like, you're hearing about all these, like, deep fakes and stuff, you know, like... Like, technology has gotten more sophisticated, where, like, we can have Obama say whatever the fuck we want or whatever.
For sure. I mean, even looking at PewDiePie, like, he comes from the generation of kids getting on Xbox Live and saying the N-word, like, erratically.
Oh,
and then
all the time,
Even if he isn't, let's say, for example, he isn't racist, then he heard that and believes it's okay, and that's why he does it. So it's like they created a monster.
Yeah. So I think we have no idea. We don't know, any of the three of us, or any of the people running YouTube in the leadership team, or Google, or fucking Alphabet, the whole Alphabet. I don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what they have on their hands, and that's very scary to me.
Very true.
So, yeah, that's where I'm at right now.
And that's how we end the episode.
Yeah, are we good?
We're good. We're good. It's fine.
I'm a shitty note.
Everything's on fire.
Listen.
We're the dog sitting at the table.
Yeah,
it's fine.
A couple weeks ago, they put out a new season of Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. That was dope. Been watching all that.
I have not watched, so the first season I did not watch in my home, because I did not want to invite the devil in my house. And so I've been, like, erratically binging the second season here while I'm at my mother's house, which is kind of fucked up now that I think about it, because I'm, like, inviting the devil to her house.
Yeah.
Not at mine. So it's so good.
So you're fine with no devil at your house, but...
I've only been watching Sabrina at other people's places or at work.
Like, it's a sin in and of itself. It's a fantastic show.
So good. So well done.
There's good in the universe is what I'm trying to say. It's out there on the internet. We just got to find it and be like, you know, media literate. Because I think a lot of people are not at the moment.
There's plenty of media illiterate people.
AKA the 2016 election, am I right?
Okay, anyway, real quick, let's plug some cool shit on YouTube so people aren't super fucking depressed. One, okay. 2 Chainz is most expensive as shit. Watch that. It's
definitely fun. Definitely.
2, absolutely check out this rabbit hole about J-Lo and all of the songs that she did not sing or just straight up stole from other artists.
I will be checking that out.
Ashanti.
Ashanti.
I will be checking that out. What should I search for that?
Search J-Lo and Ashanti. If you search those things, then you'll start to find the rabbit hole.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. It's a very interesting watch. There's like a 10-minute video about all the things that she did not sing.
See, that's a conspiracy theory that I'm like totally behind. Like,
but see, it's not a conspiracy theory because when you go look in those songs, those artists
are a proven fact. Okay, yeah, cool.
Yeah, it's a fact. Yeah, you're just gonna be like, yeah, you're gonna be a little bit gagged that J-Lo didn't do any of the work.
Okay.
Her and A-Rod for some reason are like a fucking like PR tour of their relationship.
Well, she's a great dancer.
It's weird as fuck. Anyway, so you got that J-Lo conspiracy shit that's fucking fun. You got okay, so if you're going to try to subscribe and watch dope people on YouTube, you got ContraPoints, this trans woman who does dope shit. You got who else? Cat Black, who I also recently learned is trans. I thought she was a cis woman, but she's also a trans woman. Mm-hmm. Cat Black is cool as fuck.
Very funny on Twitter.
She's amazing. Her Twitter, if you don't follow her on Twitter, please follow her on Twitter. She's amazing. Cat Black, K-A-T, obviously
and
space.
Black spelled like the girl group, Black.
Q-U-E.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about, but yeah.
That song, when I come together, say my heart.
I don't know what the fuck
baby as if. What?
I'm going to look it up once we're not live. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye.
We love you. Repetitive, sedative life. Ever revetuate, never remembering, ever degenerate. Instead of forgetting and letting them live the setting like sediment, I'm that part. Mix it up with 6 Sky, Rage Against Machine, bitter J-Rock, K-Dot. Switch it up, gangsta, getting on my stage props. Dilla with the beats and catch me singing like I'm Akon. Mama call me Yeshua, running out of time with the Harry Potter head scar. I ain't got a desk job, you ain't seen the best part. Say, mama, I can stop a bullet with no Kevlar. That's for all your rugrat reptiles. That's for all your dumb hat head farts. Yeah, that's for all your gum smack mud flaps, scuzz bag unwrapped sex bars. Tommy Laren catch a big fat dick. CIA watch list that did it. Yeah, this is how I rap before I hit it. Talk shit, but I still respect women. Simultaneously beat the shit to death in front of fetuses. The shit's a mess. It's like egregious kids are just in front and like you Jesus and elitist. Pimps come from Mars and bitches come from Venus. The way I see us is my strength is all your weakness. Treat them like a hedonist. Every obstacle defeated. Preach it, I'm a seed of it. Maybe even sees the shit like it was always mine. You better check how you're perceiving it. That's for all your broke-ass dope boys. That's for all your joke rap smoke ploys. That's for all your go brag, no half, low grab, oh snap, smoke boys. Tommy Laren catch a big fat diddick. CIA watch list, that did it. This is how I rap before I hit it. Talk shit, but I still respect women. They ain't praising my saint, my miracle. They ain't